Mark 11:22 through 24. And so Jesus answered them, saying, answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Amen. I mean, if you just combed your hair and come in this room this morning, you heard enough. You got instruction, right? Have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. In other words, in the reference in the original Greek, it says have the faith of God. Everybody say, have the faith of God. Or we could say it this way, have the God kind of faith. That means you have the same faith that God used to create the worlds. And he's explaining now the principles of the law of faith. So he didn't say if you can have it, if you can't have it. He said you can have it because he knows you need it. He knows you need it. And he knows you need faith. Now he goes on to say how faith operates. He begins to talk about the saying or the speaking part of faith. And that's where we're getting our subject from today, faith-filled words. So he says, for assuredly, Jesus has given us very good assurance. I say to you, now this is not the first say he's using, but he's using it right now. Whosoever says to the mountain, says to the mountain. Mountain is representative of something that's big, something that's problematic, something that's seemingly impossible to move or change. He says, whoever says to the mountains, in other words, this word means command. That means you have to dial the mountain up. You have to talk to your mountain. So in other words, we would say it this way, the mountain needs to hear your voice, not your pastor's voice, not your wife's voice or your husband's voice. It needs to hear your voice, your voice, your voice. What are you saying to your mountain? That's why it's good to have four crazy faith friends, friends that will tell you, well, I know you got this problem going on in your life, but what are you saying about it? Good faith friends help you do what? Release your faith and faith-filled words against your own mountain. Yes. They know you got a sickness issue, so you say, what are you saying about it? I hear you complaining about it, but we don't need to complain about it. We don't need to mumble and grumble and fuss about it. We need to speak to it. We know you got a financial issue, but you don't need to complain and grumble and mumble about it. But you need to speak to it. You know you got a family issue. Come on now. But you need to speak to it. It's important what you say to your mountain. Everybody say, my mountain needs to hear my voice. Now, if you're taking notes, write down two or three mountains that you're facing right now, because you need to remind yourself of this. My mountain needs to hear my voice. Is my finances hearing my voice? Is my marriage and my family relationship hearing my voice? Is my physical infirmity or sickness or challenge to me physically or emotionally or mentally hearing my voice? There's no other voice like your voice. Jesus saying, you say to the mountain. You talk to it. Many of us, it's a local call, 210 Mountain. Some of us might be a long distance, 1-800-MOUNTAIN. Say to the mountain. Now, if you stop right there and took inventory, what percentage would we have going down the room of people that says, this week, Pastor, I've talked to my mountain? I venture to say we might have a higher percentage if we said, we changed it up just a little bit and said, who has talked about their mountain? But Jesus didn't say talk about your mountain. Gossip and posted on social media about your mountain. He said talk to it. Say to the mountain, what? Be removed, be cast into the sea. This is your authority as a believer. And does not where? Doubt in his heart, but believes. It's a corresponding connection there. You believe with the heart. You don't doubt in your heart. You believe with the heart. Because faith will work in your heart even with thoughts of doubt in your head. Isn't that good? Because there's been times where I've been trembling, and you looked at me and said, man, is he in faith? Yes, I'm in faith, but my knees are knocking. I'm trembling because I don't know how God's going to do this one, because this is a big deal. This is a whopper. This is a Mount Everest right now. But I can't let doubt where be in my heart. But I also got to release faith from where? Heart. Now, Jesus said, believe once. Believe those things which you say will be done. Because I just talked to the mount. You believe it'll be done. He shall have what he said. So when that second say, when it says those things he says will be done, is the word, the Greek word, that means speak out loud. Everybody say, no silent, no silent. Speaking. You can't do it mental. Because if you're silent, you'll lose by default. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then, of course, he said, you shall have whatever he says. So he didn't say you have what you say once. That last word for says is the word lego, like blocks, building blocks. So it's a systematic set discourse or building blocks. So that means I'm saying it consistently. So my faith stays up and stays on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, keep going, right? And so some people think, well, Jesus only meant what I say in church, because everybody can say hallelujah, glory to God, thank you Jesus in church, but on Monday night and Monday morning, are you saying the same thing? Are you releasing faith-filled words? So you can't separate faith from words and confession. So Jesus said it begins by talking. And then verse 24, he said, therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, what? Believe that you receive them. And so he's now talking about the praying. Verse 23, he said the saying. Verse 24, he talks about praying. But if you pray it, you still have to say it. So you can ask me to pray with you, and we say, we agree in Jesus' name. And you say, I take it now, because I'm not supposed to pray with you if you're not in faith. I can't agree with you if you're not in faith. So our spiritual father used to tell us, when you believe, you receive when we pray. And some people say, well, I sure hope so. Well, don't go sit down, because you're not in faith. My Bible, your Bible says, verse 24, whatever I say, whoever's things you ask for when you pray. That means at the moment we pray, what am I supposed to do? Believe that you receive them. So personalize it. I have to believe that I receive it. Then I will have it. So in other words, I believe I got it before I get it. Now let's twist some people up. They say, wait a minute. How come I got to believe I got it before I see it, or believe I receive it before I get it? Because that's the way Jesus said it works. It's called F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart, faith. Faith, everybody say faith. Faith says, I have it now, I take it now. I don't have to see it and feel it to know that I have it now, but by faith, I believe it and receive it now before I see it and feel it later. So if I want to have it, I've got to believe I have it or receive it now. We are supposed to be walking by faith, right? Christianity is about faith, right? We get saved by what? Faith. How many got saved by faith? You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe that he would save you when you said, I take you as my Lord and receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, was raised from the dead at the third day by Father God, and you're alive and you're ascended into heaven. You are Lord. You are my Lord. You took salvation before you got saved and got salvation. Amen? It works the same. It works the same. Whether it's healing or it's a family problem, whether it's a financial issue, Faith works the same. Now, look, if you could be sleeping under a bridge, under a cardboard box, on a cardboard box, the Medina Bridge here in San Antonio, on a cardboard box, and get a hold of Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and you can come out. And you can come up. Woo! Faith-filled words will obliterate and dominate the laws of sin and death. So why? That's why we have to get a grip on our lip. That's why we have to get a grip on our lips. What are you saying? Now notice in verse 23, he said the word say in some form three times. He said believe once. So the faith group or faith gang symbol is three in one. Everybody do this with me. Now, Brother Hagin did this. He said, Jesus told him personally, you got to teach three times as much on the speaking part of faith than the believing. And so you got to emphasize in your own life, I'm saying, what am I saying? Now, if I'm silent, what? I lose by default. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. So, and then Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why would God put so much emphasis on you hearing his word? Words are more than letters. Words are containers. They hold things. Words matter. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. There is no inconsequential words. Words can make you or break you. Words can heal you or make you sick. If you don't put faithful words in your healing covenant, in healing scriptures in the Bible, when sickness comes, you just say, well, I'll just take it. Well, I'm coming down with allergies. I guess I'm catching the flu. My back is hurting. My body's in pain right now. Everybody getting real quiet when I talk like that. I guess my money get funny. What are you saying? There's no such thing as inconsequential words. Words matter. They are a bill. See, words make you want to go to church or make you want to hate church and stay home. And particularly your kids. What are you saying over your kids? Well, I'm not saying anything negative, Pastor. Well, you're still losing by default. If you don't tell your kids church is big deal, church is where we meet Jesus, church is where we learn about Jesus, church is where we learn the word of God, and we learn to live in the Holy Spirit. Come on. Kids will go to every birthday party and every event on the weekend that they can find. Because the parents are not giving them the right words. Remember we said it last week, we read it last week, John 17. When Jesus prayed, the first eight verses of John 17, Jesus said, I gave them the words that you gave me. What did he give? What was the most valuable and significant thing that Jesus gave his disciples? He said, Father, I gave them the words that you give me. Have you given your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the words that you're supposed to give them? And sometimes we wonder or we worry, why are they not serving God? Why aren't they following God? Why are they so indifferent about the things of the Lord? Words. Words matter. Words charge the atmosphere of your house. Sometimes when I go in a house, I can understand what words were spoken. I can even pick up sometimes harsh words have been spoken. Cutting words have been spoken in this room, in this house. Why? Because words are powerful. We all must take our words seriously. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, so we have to be cautious and careful of the words we're allowed to fill our heart. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 12, 20, 33, 37. Look at this. A tree is identified by its fruit. And if the tree is good, its fruit is good, will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites and the Sadducees. He says, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? Now, Jesus is making a rhetorical question because he knows the answer. He's not asking the question. He's making a rhetorical question. How can you, being evil, speak what is good is right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the good treasury of his good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from an evil treasury of evil heart. Now, this word treasury, or it means deposit, or the Greek word is thesaurus, or words. So if you put bad words in through your what? Through your ear gate, through your eyes, through your mouth, you put them in, that deposit gets down in here. And what's down in here is what's going to be withdrawn up through here. I tell you, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word. Idle just means useless, non-productive, or vain word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or what? Condemn you. Everybody say praise the Lord. So in other words, Jesus gave us what we call a mouth math formula. Mouth, what's coming out of your mouth, is the result of heart plus abundance, or H plus A equals M, or M equals H plus A. Heart plus what's in abundance in your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. You can tell what you're talking about and saying, that's what's in your heart. You deposit good words in your heart, good words are going to come out. If you deposit evil words in your heart, evil words are going to come out. Evil is not just, we're coming up on, that season of Halloween. It's not talking about being a monster or a wizard or a warlock or something like that. He's talking about evil, anything or anyone that takes you away from your God-intended purpose or plan for your life is evil. So you could be talking about this hobby or talking about this habit or talking about this home situation. You talk about it so much, that's what's all in your heart, but it's taking you away from your God-intended purpose and plan. So you need to get good words down in your heart. Who you are in Christ. Who you are in the body of Christ. What you have in Christ. Because he's supposed to be the center and the centerpiece of our lives. Jesus is the gospel is the centerpiece, or Jesus is the centerpiece of the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. So we should be talking about it all the time. And lining up divinely with who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and what he's asked us to do. Woo! Y'all making me work this morning. All right, so no inconsequential words. Everybody say it with me. No inconsequential words. Words matter. Words spoken yesterday make life what it is today. We said it. If you're not happy with what you have or possess in life, you got to check out what 1 inch below your nose. So, what you've been saying. Because what you've been saying is what you've been getting. And what you've got is what you've been saying. Jesus didn't say you have so whatever you think. He said you have whatever you say. And when you begin to say the right words, you're on your way. You're on your way to your victory. You're on your way to your blessings. You're on your way to your good things. What are you saying over your life? If you don't pause and say some good things, every good thing that's in you in Christ, then you're missing out. All right, next slide, guys. Praise the Lord. Why are our words so important? Why? Number one, we listen to what we say. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, turn with me there if you have your Bible with you or your device. It says in verse 6, Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 6, but this says, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. What? The righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Because some people say, well, Jesus, help me, help me, help me, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Well, Jesus already gave you the help. He said, I've given you the words. We have 66 books of words. I've given you my name. I've shed my blood. What other help you need? But see, people want Jesus to come down and help me, help me, help me, Jesus. That means just like what the word says, Jesus, descend from heaven above. You got to help me because this situation is horrible. You got to help me, Jesus. So some people think just calling on Jesus is all the help that I need to do when the Holy Spirit's inside of you says, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you say the right things, to pray the right things, because you don't always know how to pray like you need to be praying. He's giving you all the help that you need. You got more help than what you need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And don't say, Jesus, you got to come and die and sacrifice and come up from the dead again, because this situation is, I'm struggling. He said, I don't need to die no more. I don't need to come up from the grave anymore. I don't need to conquer death, hell, and the grave anymore. It's already conquered. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But it says here in verse 8, but what does it say? This is how you're supposed to talk. The word is near you in your mouth. Everybody point to your mouth, my mouth, and in your heart. So everybody say this with me. It must be in my mouth to get into my heart. So it's the heart and mouth connection. That is the word of faith which we preach. What kind of word do we preach? What kind of word do we preach? Faith comes by and hearing by. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. So we see here the word is near you. Where? In your mouth and in your heart. So that's how you get it in your heart. It's a scientific, psychological makeup that God made with every person who's his child. He said you can get faith when you need it if you put it in your mouth, get it through your ears, which gets into your heart. Just like you eat food through your mouth, you feed faith into your heart through your own ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can school yourself in the faith. That's why we say when you read the Bible, don't just read the Bible mentally. Read the Bible with your mouth open. Read it out loud. Praise God. So then when you read the Bible, you feed it. You're feeding your faith, and you're starving your doubts and fears to death. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. So there's never a lack of audience when the audience is just one. How does something get in your heart? We speak it. Faith-filled words, we speak it. We take the word of God, the promise of God, we put them in our mouth, we speak them out loud to our ears, and we school ourselves into faith. If I'm struggling with a healing issue, I grab about 10 or 15 healing scriptures and put them in my mouth. And then say them out of my mouth. Because what am I doing? Building faith into my heart. Praise God. I hope I'm helping somebody today. And then if I'm having financial issues, I need to get the finance scriptures out. You need to have at least 3 or 4, but I would say 5 to 10 finance scriptures that you chew on. What? With your mouth, just like you're chewing a good, nice little T-bone steak or a ribeye steak or a filet mignon. I know I'm making some of y'all hungry. But you put it in your mouth. Everybody said the word's got to be in your mouth. Like that one preacher that his wife said, you know, he was struggling with some things and dealing with some things, and she cut up scriptures and put it in his coffee. And he got his coffee that morning, was spitting it out. He said, "What's this?" He said, "Well," he said, "honey, you got to get the word in your mouth. You got to get the word in your mouth." Everybody say, "You got to get the word in your mouth." If the word's not in your mouth, it'll never get in your heart. And the word contains the power and life and ability to bring the promise to pass in your life. But what does the devil do? He gets you to keep the word out of your mouth. You talk about what you see. You talk about what you feel. You use all your words, just gossip and slander and talk about natural stuff instead of the bringing in the supernatural on the scene. Because see, faith opens the door to the supernatural. That's believing and speaking. Everybody say believing and speaking. Those are the two door hinges that is the door to the supernatural. If you believe it, then speak it. So you school yourself into faith, believing it by putting that word in your mouth. If it's whatever issue, find the scriptures that promise you what you need and then put them in your mouth. School yourself in the faith. Because he said, if you confess with your mouth the lordship of Jesus, in other words, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believes, with the mouth one confesses to receive. Woo, glory to God. So some people only think confession is just confessing my sin. But no, you got to confess the word. You got to confess the word. Somebody say, confess the word. Somebody say, confess the word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hello. Good morning. Come on. We got seats up here, over here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see y'all. Thank you. Hallelujah. We can speak anger in our hearts, or we can speak what? Now, here's why I want to meddle a little bit. Can I meddle just a little bit? Now, your emotions, friends, brothers and sisters, are supposed to color your life. Everybody say it with me. My emotions is supposed to color my life, not control my life. Now, I'm telling you right now, it's coming up in my heart. Some of y'all letting it control your life. You just doing everything you feel. When you get angry, your mouth just goes haywire. When you get frustrated, you just speak your frustrations. You have an explosion that happens right one beneath your nose. Because this is a bazooka. This is a missile. This is a big gun right here. Your tongue, your mouth. And James calls it a little fire that creates a bonfire. And if you let this mouth be controlled by your emotions, you're going to be a yo-yo Christian, up and down. Up and down. Everybody say, don't be a yo-yo Christian. So you can speak anger or you can speak love. So I always say, allow the Holy Spirit to give you discipline in your speech. Because they discovered that already in neuroscience, that the speech center of your body, in the central nervous system, exercises dominion over all other centers in your body. So when you have discipline in your speech, you don't take your bazooka or your blast big gun and shoot a hole in your own boat and shoot your own spouse or shoot your own family members. No, you shoot it at the devil who's causing the trouble. Because there's power in our tongue. There's power in our tongue. Life and death are in the power of the what? Tongue. Praise God. So we can speak ourselves up or we can speak ourselves down. I always say, what do you say when you come to church? If you say nothing, you're succumbing to your own emotions and feelings. I don't want to come. I don't want to I don't want to be here. I got lunch. I don't want to be bothered to give. I got to go to lunch. I don't want to be bothered to give. No, you talk yourself out of Christ and into crisis. Listen to me very close. You talk yourself out of Christ and into your Christ. You should be talking yourself into Christ. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be. That's a choice, right? I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is my righteousness, my peace, my sanctification, my redemption. Every day is a new day in Christ. Every day is a day of victory. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Don't get me started. I'll get to preaching. See, it's easy to underestimate our words than to take responsibility for them. One of the biggest crimes that Christians commit is sinning with their mouth. Psalms 39 tells us, he said, a prayer that says, Lord, may I take heed to my ways that I sin with not with my tongue. Keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked of a woman. So everything that you see is a result of words. You know, in relationships, people get distanced or divorced in relationship. Why? Because of words they've spoken to each other. And then the court comes down and gives them a decree of words. Right? When you get in debt, your mouth got too big than your finances, and you didn't get your finances up with your faith, so you accumulate all this debt, and now you got all this indebtedness. Words. But if the problem is words, the promise is also words, but faith-filled words, higher words, better words. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So everything we say matters. Words matter. What are the words coming out of your mouth this day, this week, this year, 2025, this month of September? What are you saying? If I was your faith buddy and your faith friend, I would say, hey, what are you saying? I know you got that challenge with your health. What are you saying about your body? What are you saying about your kids? What are you saying about your family? If you're not saying nothing, you're not getting nothing. And the devil will accommodate you with getting everything he wants you to have. You lose by default. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What are the faith words you are releasing over your body? Your marriage, your family, your finances, your business, your relationship, your career, your church, and your ministry. You know, we love to have a church full of people that can talk good. Now, talking good is not flattery. Talking good is faith. Everybody say, faith is not flattery. It's speaking the word. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brother, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your what? Of our confession. Everybody say, my confession. Now, there's four kinds of confession. This is the one that means confession of faith. That means the words of faith that you speak. Now, some people threw out the baby with the bathwater and says, well, we don't need a human priest. Yet, that may be so, but you have a high priest. Priesthood is still existent today. That's Jesus' present day ministry. Jesus didn't get through the cross, the agony of Gethsemane, shed his blood, get whipped on his back, crown of thorns on his head, go to the heart of the earth, get raised from the dead, and go, whew, I'm tired, I'm done. I'm sitting up in heaven with my legs crossed. No, Jesus is not sitting down. He's the apostle and high priest of what? Of your confession of faith. Now you get a big deal about your words. In other words, apostle means sent messenger or sent one. He's now sent to us for our words. So when you tithe, like we were doing earlier with tithing our money, you say things to the Lord, Lord and high priest over our tithes, because he receives it. Is he receiving our money, our checks? No. He's not receiving the receipt from the machine. He's not receiving that. He's receiving our words, what we are saying about our money. Now, some of y'all, I'm saying this by the Holy Spirit, your money is funny because you've been talking funny. Your money's been funny because you've been talking funny. You've been talking the lack of money. You've been talking the lack of insufficiency. You've been talking about the limits and how my income is fixed and I don't have enough. We always run out or come up short. But the high priest of your confession is there to receive your righteous words, your faith-filled words. He's there to receive them. It's up to you to give them to him. It's up to you to give them to him. You could be at the bottom of the barrel or under the barrel, but Jesus can bring you up and bring you out. Somebody say, praise God. Hallelujah. So that's what Jesus does. Now, confession or profession means for faith released through words or speaking. Everybody say faith. Released through words. Speaking. So Jesus works what you have released, with what you have released, not with what you possess. He doesn't work with what you know or possess. He works with what you release to him. And his priestly ministry says, I'll take your words and I'll confer the blessing on what you said. Well, some of y'all going to get it at 12 o'clock midnight and scream. Just don't call me. Just rejoice to the Lord and tell me later, okay? But are you giving Jesus words this September? Are you making this a September to remember? So what is the job of a high priest? It's to see that what you profess or confessed is fulfilled. So just like we were talking about the tithe, you tell Jesus how you honor him and worship the Father on my behalf, take these tithes and incorporate the blessing, activate the blessing over my life, over my family, over all that I have. I thank you. Thank you, Father, that you confer the blessing upon me and my family and my finances in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, adds no sorrow, painful sorrow, toil or sweat with it. I thank you, Father God, that the blessing is being fulfilled through my life. And you supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he goes, amen, so be it. That means he sees that it gets done. And I don't change it or I don't cancel it. That's another problem sometimes people have. They change it and cancel it because when they don't see it or feel it right away, they think, well, maybe it's not happening. Well, you just canceled it. Or they go home and say, well, all these bills, all these problems, my car just broke down. Look at this. And you go gossip somebody. And so you're telling other people your problems. And you're trying to confess the promise of Jesus, and that don't work. That's confliction. That's going to cancel out your confession. Don't change it. Don't cancel it. Hold it on. Hold on to your confession. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So in other words, you can speed up your manifestation by speeding up your faith-filled words. I'm giving you all some keys and clues here. How can you speed it up? Speed up your confession. But are you interested or are you intentional about your words? In other words, Jesus has to work and minister to you as the great high priest with the words that you speak and release in faith. If it's a little bit of faith, 10% of your week, then he's got to deal with 90% of doubt and unbelief in your words to sift through the 10% of faith words so he can work with the 10%. Whew. Y'all doing good? Y'all need to go home right now? Are we still good? Hallelujah. Look at Romans 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The measure of our confession of faith words determines the measure of our interest and intentionality. So if you go back, wind the clock back, go back to September 7th, last week, on September 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, to today, what kind of words did you release from your own lips. Because the measure of our confession of faith words determines the measure of our interest and intentionality. Now, let me give you this here before I go to the next slide. There was a situation where there's a big church, a conglomeration of churches in an overseas missionary meeting. The guest speaker was from the United States. And it was probably 250 churches and thousands of people in attendance. The church's pastors were represented each church, and they all came together for this meeting. And then when this minister from the United States came over, he walked in, and as he was walking in, he saw Jesus. Jesus was right there, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus took liberty to introduce them to every pastor in every church that was represented. And he walked over every church and pastor. He said, "This is Pastor and Pastor so-and-so and so-and-so." And he closed out every phrase. They pastor a church in da-da-da-da. And they are not interested. And he went down to everyone. Pastor so-and-so from church da-da-da-da. From where da-da-da-da. And they are not interested. He said out of the churches that they had, 250 churches, there was only three that Jesus changed the last phrase, and he said, "Now they are interested." Now, Jesus was walking in as high priest. He's high priest. You got to get to know Jesus as high priest. Some of us go too far extreme and say, "Well, we don't need a human priest, but you have a high priest, and he's called a great high priest. What is he doing today for you? He's supposed to take your words and fulfill them. Are you giving them faith-filled words?" And so when he said interest, not in, after the Lord introduced all these 250 pastors, only three or four were interested. And the Lord told them what it meant. He said, they are interested in progressing, prospering, living in peace, being healed, walking in divine health, walking in divine protection. Why? Because they utilize their faith-filled words and they make faith-filled confessions. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Whew. Are you interested this morning? Are you interested in knocking the devil over the head when it comes to putting sickness in your body? Are you interested in prospering? Are you interested in increase? Are you interested in seeing your family come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are you interested in going up another level in spirit? Your interest is determined by your confession. And you're being intentional. This doesn't work for the lazy Christian who says it in church but can't say it at home. If it doesn't work at home, it doesn't work at all. Hallelujah. All right, next slide, guys. We're going to close with this one. Words kill. Proverbs 18:21. Words kill. Words give life. Words either poison or fruit. You choose. What are you going to choose? Ephesians 4:29. Watch the way you what? Talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your what? Mouth. Say only what helps each word a gift. When's the last time you did a checkup on your words and find out how am I talking about things and to people? How am I saying about things and to people? Colossians 4:6, the Message translation, says, "Be gracious in your speech." The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. "That's just the way I am, Pastor." No, he said, "Be gracious in your speech." Your job is not to cut and convict everybody. Amen. Bring out the best in others in the conversation. Don't correct her. You got to be a better connector than a corrector. Work on your correct connecting skills, not just on your correcting skills, because we got some skilled correctors in the church. They see something wrong, they'll call it out. Everybody say, Lord, help me be a better connector than a corrector or a critic. Amen. Praise God. Most believers know the importance of the power of God's word, that is reading, feeding the Bible, listening to the Lord as he speaks to their hearts. But while most Christians know God's word is full of life, many of them haven't given much thought or intentionality to the importance of the power of their words. So God has a lot to say about potential of our words. Words have two categories, and we're going to close with this thought. The words we say about to and about others. Because it doesn't matter if they're not present in my company and I'm on the phone and I can talk about them. Because when you talk about them, you are tearing yourself and your relationship with them down. That's why gossip and slander is such an evil thing. Such an evil thing. Well, they are my family. They are my kids. They are my siblings. No, it doesn't give you the right to talk about them, to speak evil of them. You got to watch what you say. And then words we say in faith. So words we say and speak to and about others, we can effectively build people up or tear people down with our words. Because words, there's no time or distance in the realm of the spirit. See, words can affect somebody and they're not even in your presence. But you've been talking about them. Our words can impart grace to hearers or pierce their hearts like arrows. We know we shouldn't gossip, and that we should be kind and edifying in speech. Everybody say, help me, Lord. And then words we say or speak in faith. We have the God-given privilege of acknowledging, affirming, appropriating, confessing, and laying claim to the riches of God's word with our words. So are we going to do it? Because, see, some people are slacking in this area where they have to pick it up and say, well, am I speaking words of faith? Am I saying words of faith? Am I getting the Bible, the promises, and speaking those promises as my faith expectation? This is living by faith. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to leave you with this one thought. If you're taking notes, write these three things down. Three things that will establish you in who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. Because what we got a lot of times is immobile Christians. We need to mobilize Christians. You need to get back into your place and into your grace and into your race. Number one, you need to pray the Ephesians prayers. And we said it last Sunday night in our prayer group, that everybody needs to be praying Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 prayer. Pray the Ephesians 1 and pray them over yourself every day for the rest of this year. Number two, you need to make confessions of who you are in Christ. Now, next week, I'm going to bring those. I'm going to bring the confessions of who you are in Christ. Many of you have them. They're on our internet website, and you can have them. They're free. But these are confessions, that at least 10 confessions every day, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ. You're going to activate, but you're also going to align with your individual identity, which is who you are in Christ, but your corporate identity, who you are in the body of Christ. That means your race, your role, your responsibilities, your relationships in Christ. Everybody say, everything out of Christ is not good. And it'll put you in a crisis. Everything in Christ is good. Amen. So stay in Christ. Amen. And then number three, you need to pray in the Spirit. Now, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues, we always say there's one gift for the sinner, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. But there's one gift for the believer, which is receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody needs the Holy Spirit, and Jesus wouldn't have told us we need the Holy Spirit. If we didn't need him, he would not have sent him. So you can go ahead and stand. You can stand right now. So praying the Holy Spirit. So how do you get lined up? Because, see, the Holy Spirit will give you mouth control. It will help you speak out the mysteries and divine secrets and secret truths and hidden things. to get you in alignment and get you on your assignment in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So pray the Ephesians prayers. Make your confessions of who you are in Christ. And pray in the Spirit. Everybody say every day. Every day. Or if you say it down in the country, say every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Don't miss a day. Don't miss a day. Praise God. Lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and thank the Lord. Father God, and we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to teach these and feed these, your precious people. We thank you for your word and your will being accomplished this week through their lives. We thank you, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will remind them and help them learn further and go farther in the things of the truth of the Scripture and the truth of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just give me a minute or so here, and no one looking around, just monitoring your own heart. I want to give you four appeals to pray if you need prayer, and then we'll dismiss. Number one, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you've gone away from him and backslidden, so to speak, or been away, long-distance relationship.